Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be starting with Canto 9, Chapter 11, text number 27. There's quite a few translations, verses without purports. And then we'll read in the 12th chapter the translation, the summary of the chapter. And then we'll read the translations from 1 through 6, where 6 does have a purport. So there'll be some reading. Please try to focus in on what's being spoken here today. I remember hearing Chaitanya Charna Prabhu on Sunday. He was giving such a wonderful Sunday feast lecture. And one point that stuck to my mind was hearing leads to purification. So if nothing else, if we're just hearing what is being read, we're being purified. Just like if we're taking some medicine, we don't exactly know how it's working, but it may be controlling the fever or helping us with some ailments. So in the same way, hearing leads to purification. And what I had in mind is I was going to read the translations and then on of all the verses without purports. And then when I got to number 6, I was going to read the Sanskrit, and then we can respond with the Sanskrit for that verse. So, text number 27, the palaces, the palace gates, the assembly houses, the platforms for meeting places, the temples, and all such places were decorated with golden water pots and bed-decked with various types of flags. So as I'm reading, just try to create this vision in your mind. That was text 27. Text 28, wherever Lord Ramachandra visited, auspicious welcome gates were constructed with banana trees and betel nut trees full of flowers and fruits. The gates were decorated with various flags made of colorful cloth and with tapestries, mirrors, and garlands. When we read about flags, I think about these flags up here to our right, and then the colorful cloth, I think about the nice cloth up here, and then when we speak about tapestries, mirrors, garlands, I think of all these garlands. So we can just imagine wherever Lord Ramachandra visited, this is what was there for him. Text number 29. Wherever Lord Ramachandra visited, the people approached him with paraphernalia of worship and begged the Lord's blessings. O Lord, they said, as you rescued the earth from the bottom of the sea in your incarnation as a boar, may you now maintain it. Thus we beg your blessings. Text number 30. Thereafter, not having seen the Lord for a long time, the citizens, both men and women, became very eager to see him, left their homes, and got up on the roofs of the palaces. Being incompletely satiated with seeing the face of the lotus-eyed Lord Ramachandra, they showered flowers upon him. Text number 31 through 34. Thereafter, Lord Ramachandra entered the palace of his forefathers. Within the palace were various treasures and valuable wardrobes. The sitting places on the two sides of the entrance door were made of coral. The yards were surrounded by pillars of Vaidurya Mani. The floor was made of highly polished Marakata Mani, and the foundation was made of marble. The entire palace was decorated with flags and garlands and bedecked with valuable stones, shining with a celestial effulgence. The palace was fully decorated with pearls and surrounded by lamps and incense. The men and women within the palace all resembled demigods and were decorated with various ornaments, which seemed beautiful because of being placed on their bodies. Text number 35. Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chief of the best learned scholars, resided in that palace with his pleasure potency, Mother Sita, and enjoyed complete peace. Text number 36. Without transgressing the religious principles, Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by devotees in meditation, enjoyed with all the paraphernalia of transcendental pleasure for as long as they needed. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the ninth canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Ramachandra Rules the World. So now I will read the chapter summary of chapter 12. The dynasty of Kusha, the son of Lord Ramachandra. This chapter describes the dynasty of Kusha, the son of Lord Ramachandra. The members of this dynasty are descendants of Shashada, the son of Maharaj Ishvaku. Following the geological table of Lord Ramachandra's dynasty, Kusha, the Lord's son, was followed consecutively by Atiti, Nishada, Naba, Pundarik, Pundarika, Sheman Danva, Devanika, Aniha, Pariyatra, Balastala, Vrajanaba, thank you, Sangana, and Vidriti. You can imagine if we were Shrutidar is one that can hear and remember everything that was being said. If I was a Shrutidar, I'd be able to repeat this back to you word for word. These personalities ruled the world. From Vidriti came Hiranyanaba, who later became the disciple of Jaimini and propounded the system of mystic yoga in which Yajnavalkya was initiated. Following in this dynasty were Pushpa, Dhruvasandhi, Sudarshana, Agnivarna, Shigra, and Maru. Maru attained full perfection in the practice of yoga, and he still lives in the village of Kalapa. At the end of this age of Kali, he will revive the dynasty of the sun god. Next in the dynasty were Prashushruta, Sandi, Amarsana, Mahasvan, Vishabanu, Prasenajit, Takshaka, and Brihabala, who was later killed by Abhimanyu. Shukadeva Goswami said that these were all kings who had passed away. The future descendants of Brihabala will be Brihadrana, Arukriya, Vatsavridha, Prativyoma, Banu, Divaka, Brihadrana, Sahadev, Brihadashva, Banumam, Pratikasha, Shukpratika, Marudev, Sunak Satra, Pushkara. You know, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking about Srila Prabhupada and the depth that he had in this philosophy. To know all these personalities, to know all these names. And I was thinking when I was reading this morning, how growing up outside of Krishna consciousness, before we became devotees, we perhaps had our favorite television show or our favorite sport. And it was amazing to me how when it came to different sports, I knew so many different players. I knew their batting averages. I knew, you know, or football, how many touchdowns they scored, what records they scored, what teams they played for, even sometimes their wife's name. I can go on and on and on. And all of us here can say the same thing, not necessarily with sports, but with anything on the material side. So bringing it over to the spiritual side, it shows that if we spend the time getting purified, if we spend the time hearing, trying to pay attention to all, even the very smallest of details, we too can learn all these different names, all the different personalities, as deep as it may seem and as challenging as it may seem to remember it all, there is that opportunity. And just remember that ultimately, this whole philosophy, we already know this. Because this whole philosophy is based on the nature of the soul. And as a pure spirit souls, we already know this philosophy. We already understand all of this. So it's important that even when we are going through these names, and it sounds as if almost I'm sitting up here speaking a foreign language, like if I was speaking Russian, some can understand it, or Spanish, some could understand it. But others, they could not understand it. So in the same way, if we just hear these names, if we try with rapt attention to absorb what Srila Prabhupada has written here, then, again, just like taking the medicine, we will get purified. So with that being said, I'll continue with the list of names. Antariksha, Sutapa, Amrit, Trajit, Brihadraj, Barhi, Kirtanjaya, Rana Jaya, Sanjaya, Shakya, Shudhoda, Langala, Prasenajit, Shudraka, Ranaka, Surath, and Samitra. All of them will become kings one after another. Sumitra, coming in this age of Kali, will be the last king of the Ishbaku dynasty. After him, the dynasty will be extinguished. Text number one. Sukadev Goswami said, the son of Ramachandra was Kusha. The son of Kusha was Atiti. The son of Atiti was Nishada. The son of Nishada was Naba. The son of Naba was Pundarika. And from Pundarika came the son of Shema Danva. Text number two. The son of Shema Danva was Devanika. Devanika's son was Aniha. Aniha's son was Pariyatra. And Pariyatra's son was Balastala. The son of Balastala was Verdran Naba, who was said to have been born from the effulgence of the sun god. Text number 3 and 4. The son of Vrudran Naba was Sangana, and his son was Vidriti. The son of Vidriti was Hiranyagarbha. Excuse me, thank you. Hiranyanaba, who became a disciple of Jaimini and became a great acharya of mystic yoga. It is from Hiranyanaba that the great saint Yajnavalkya learned the highly elevated system of mystic yoga known as Adhyatma Yoga, which can loosen the knots of material attachments in the heart. Translation to text number 5. The son of Hiranyanaba was Pushpa. The son of Pushpa was Dhruva Sandhi. The son of Dhruva Sandhi was Sudarshana, whose son was Agni Varna. The son of Agni Varna was named Shigra, and his son was Maru. Okay. So text number 6. So savaste yoga siddha. Kalapa graman ashtitaha. Kaler ante surya vamsham. Nashtam bhava yita punaha. So savaste yoga siddha. Kalapa gramam astitaha. Kaler ante surya vamsham. Nastam bhava yita punaha. So savaste yoga siddha. Kalapa gramam astitaha. Kaler ante surya vamsham. Nashtam bhava yita punaha. Someone else, please. So savaste yoga siddha. Kalapa gramam astitaha. Kaler ante surya vamsam. Nastam bhava yita punaha. So saraste yoga siddha. Kalapa gramamastitaha. Kalerante sriyavamsam. Nastam bhava yita punaha. Ladies, please. So savaste yoga siddha. Kalapa gramamastitaha. Kaler antes avamsa. Kalapa mama stitaha. Kaler antes avamsa. Nastam bhavyati. Word for word. Sa, he, aso, the personality known as Maru. Aste, still existing. Yoga siddha, perfection in the power of mystic yoga. Kalapa, Gramam, the place name Kalapa Grama. Astita is still living there. Kale, of this Kali Yuga. Ante, at the end. Suryavamsham, the descendant of the sun god. Nastam, after being lost. Bhavayita. Maru will begin by begetting a son. Puna. Again. Translation. Having achieved perfection in the power of mystic yoga, Maru still lives in a place known as Kalapa Grama. At the end of Kali Yuga, he will revive the lost Surya dynasty by begetting a son. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. At least 5,000 years ago, Srila Sukadeva Goswami ascertained the existence of Maru in Kalapa Grama and said that Manu, having achieved a Yoga City body, would continue to exist until the end of Kali Yuga, which is calculated to continue for 432,000 years. Such is the perfection of mystic yoga. By controlling the breath, the perfect yogi can continue his life for as long as he likes. Sometimes we hear from the Vedic literature that some personalities from the Vedic age, such as Maru, are still living. We are sometimes surprised that a mortal body can live for such a long time. The explanation of this longevity is given here by the word Yoga City. If one Yoga Siddha, If one becomes perfect in the practice of yoga, he can live as long as he likes. The demonstration of some trifling yoga siddha does not constitute perfection. Here is a factual example of the perfection. A yoga siddha can live as long as he likes. Om Gyanata Manandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umlitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, in this age of Kali Yuga, which is calculated to live, continues for 432,000 years. Srila Prabhupada has made it very simple for us to attain perfection. Now, whether we live for 100 years, as in this age of Kali Yuga, people are living for at most 100 years, or even going back to the other yugas, we'll start with Satya Yuga, where people would live to be 100,000 years old, Treta Yuga, where people would live to be 10,000 years old, Dwarpa Yuga, where people would live to be 1,000 years old, and now in this age of Kali Yuga, where people at best will live to be 100 years old, and it's even said that as Kali Yuga progresses, that one will be 30 years old and he will be considered an old person. How many people do we have here that are 30 years old? Okay. So in 30 years old, then we would be considered an old person. Now in this age of Kali Yuga, Srila Prabhupada has made it very easy for us. Let's bring it to basics here. Basic 101. The chanting of Hare Krishna is the means by which we can attain perfection. It is the only way, it is the only way, it is the only way. We've heard this verse many times. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam. Kalona Stavina, Stavina, Stavit, Gatir Ranyata. In this age of Kali Yuga, the only means to become self-realized is the chanting of the holy name. Nastavina, Stavina, Stavit. It's the only way. So we've been very fortunate to be given this gift of receiving the holy name of Krishna, and it's three words: Hari, Krishna, and Rama. Imagine, we look up here on top of the altar, and there's the Maha Mantra. Think about what is contained in that mantra. We don't have to be any big scholars. We don't have to, although Srila Prabhupada wanted us to know this philosophy, but we don't have to know every last detail of this vast ocean of philosophy that Srila Prabhupada has given us to attain perfection in this lifetime. All we have to do is chant that mantra every day and work on it. It'll work on us as we work on becoming more attentive to chanting the holy name. Now I know that we're getting back to basics here, but every day when we wake up, we should get back to basics. We don't always feel enthusiastic, or I should say, you know, well-rested, or even sometimes enthusiastic to wake up in the morning, to get ready, to put tilak on, to come to Mangal Arti, to speak of even if it's raining or there's a storm, thunder, lightning. Sometimes it's just easier to think, well, I'd rather just stay in today. I'll watch Mangal Arti from my computer. But the fact is that if we're attentive in taking this medicine, if we're attentive in chanting our rounds, if we're attentive in hearing the holy name when we are chanting it congregationally and by ourselves during the morning program, it's really amazing when you finish the morning program and you walk out there to get that maha, and then we go take prasadam. Compare the two consciousnesses. Compare how we felt when we woke up and compare that to how we feel at the end of the morning program. Again, we're speaking about basics here. In other ages, there were other means to become self-realized. So even here we speak about, it's both Srila Prabhupada speaking about yoga siddha and how someone can live for as long as they want. Well, we too can live for as long as we want. Because by chanting Hare Krishna, by purifying our consciousness, by becoming wrapped, complete attention and focus on the holy name, and then that leads to better things, we actually can live as long as we want. Everybody here wants to be eternal. No one wants to die. But again, by chanting the holy name and following the instructions that Srila Prabhupada has given us, we will all live forever. We are all eternal. So by practicing other types of yoga and even other means to become self-realized as in the other ages, that's not recommended for this age. So when we're chanting, let's go back and speak about chanting, since everything comes from chanting. Okay, so we chant 16 rounds a day. Okay? But there's more to it than that. How conscious are we to be focused, to hear, to pronounce each word properly? This is something that I personally struggle with every day. As I'm chanting, I'm thinking about other things that I have to do during the day. I may be doing something while I'm chanting. I've caught myself chanting and taking laundry out of the washing machine. I've caught myself chanting and planning out my day. Again, I repeat this. I know that this is all, you know, very basic, but this is how our day should start. And this has a direct impact on our whole day, on how our day is going to go. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have a challenging day. Don't put it, oh, I'm having a bad day. Put it, we're having a challenging day. Doesn't mean that You know, we make out a schedule and everything's going to go exactly the way it is. We have all of our ingredients in the kitchen and we're ready to cook an amazing feast. And then we ran out of an ingredient. It doesn't mean that we're scheduling meetings throughout the day and then somebody doesn't show up. I mean, I can go on and on. But the important thing is to remember that Krishna, Rukmini Dwarkadish, the deities, they are in charge of everything. And all we can do is our very best to try to glorify the holy name and to do our part, be attentive to what we're supposed to do and leave the rest up to Krishna. And then when there are those challenges or things don't go accordingly, we will have the focus. We will have the realization of who's in charge. We will have the strength to get us through those challenging times. So this is, again, very basic, but it's important that throughout the day, take a moment to go to someone who you see. And I reiterate this a lot, and I say this a lot in my classes. Take a moment. If I'm going to see Satchidananda Prabhu, he's walking across the street, I'm going to go over to him, and I'm going to say, Prabhu, can I tell you something about Krishna? Bhakta Jesse, can I tell you something about Krishna? We get caught up in our everyday life, just like we hear non-devotees, and I've heard it from them many times, they'll spend so much time working, making money, and what is that one thing, you know, at the end of life, and I've heard people say this before, what is the one thing that they wish they would have done at the end of their life? Not to necessarily make more money, although maybe some do say that. But people wish that they would have spent a little bit more time with their family. So we're all very busy here. But at the same time, how wonderful it is to just spend a moment and go up to someone, tell them something about Krishna. It may be something that they need to hear throughout that day. Ultimately, everybody is challenged with trying to remember Krishna. So let's help each other to remember Krishna. And ultimately, everyone will, all the Vaishnavas, everyone will appreciate that. So I'm trying that in my own way throughout my days to spend more time getting to know devotees. Because even I'm sitting up here and I'm looking out at all the Vaishnavas, but I don't really know a lot about everyone. So we're all in this world together. We all have so much to be thankful for. And we can't be Krishna conscious by ourselves. We can, but it's very, very difficult. And we need that faith to go on. And so that faith comes from association of devotees. So it's 8:15, and I know we had a lot of reading to do here. I just wanted to take a moment to see if anyone had any questions or additions on anything that I said. Again, very basic points, but I even can remember seeing some professional coaches in the NFL. When that team lost a game, I know this is something material, but it explains, it's a very, you know, this is something we can remember. And this coach, when his team lost a game, Monday morning, he took them into this big room to have the Monday morning meeting, and he started from the basics, and he picked up the football and said, gentlemen, this is a football. So, Prabhus, this is a bead bag. Jai. Does anyone have any questions or comments that they'd like to make, please? Sarvabhauma Prabhu, please. Okay, so Sarvabhauma Prabhu's question is, he said that I said that chanting of the holy name, and I didn't say that, but Srila Prabhupada said that, but that chanting of the holy name is the means to perfection in this age. So Sarvabhauma Prabhu asked, what is perfection? Right. Jai. Very good question. So the perfection is that we're remembering Krishna. We're remembering who is the controller. The perfection is that we're chanting Hare Krishna all the time. As is said, we should always remember him and never forget him. So perfection doesn't mean that everything in our life goes well all the time. There are those challenges. As Srila Prabhupada has set the perfect example, from trying to get started in India, from the time he made it here, from the time he, you know, went to Boston and to New York and then to San Francisco and then spreading Krishna consciousness, there was a lot of challenges. So again, it doesn't mean that those won't be here. But perfection means that we remember Krishna and we never forget him. Perfection is that we're always chanting the holy name. Now, there's a lot of other things that can be said about perfection, but you asked me to keep it brief, so I'll just keep it brief. Is there anybody else that would like to add something to that, possibly? No? Okay. So I'm going to stop there. If you have a question, I'd be happy to answer it after class, all right? Thank you very much, Prabhus, for your attention. May you all have a wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.
I was thinking that if you answer perfection means there will be no more birth and death.
Perfection is no more birth and death. Yeah. That's why I said there's so many more things that we can.
Good.
Thank you. I thought you were going to ask me some questions.
Yeah, I was going to ask you a question. Why did you come back? Anyways, my suggestion.